so the title of our lesson this morning is Choose Faith. And I think Gwen's opening music was perfect, the perfect selection for this title this morning. And I think that when we say to someone, choose faith, that seems kind of pretty cut and dry. If we were to ask someone, right, tell me, Irma, do you want to live in fear or faith? Or, hey, Jamal, do you want to operate in the darkness of disbelief or the illumination of faith? It's going to be a safe bet that both Irma and Jamal are going to choose faith and a power and energy, a vibrational awareness of a creative, omnipotent, energetic essence that is more than they are while simultaneously being all that they are. Who wouldn't? Any student of spiritual principle is going to choose faith. Now, for our second lesson of our Out of Fierceness, Out of Fearfulness series, I want to share how Dr. Holmes defines faith in the Science of Mind textbook. He wrote this: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a mental attitude so inwardly embodied that the mind can no longer deny it. Faith is a belief and a presence of an invisible principle and law which directly and specifically responds to us. Now, let's be clear. Dr. Holmes's definition of faith, I think we can say that any major theology's definition of faith is going to have anyone responding to the answer, the question of what do you choose, they're all going to choose faith. So, you know, back to Irma and Jamal going, of course I choose faith. But let us unpack and emphasize a couple of key phrases from Dr. Holmes's definition of faith. He said, faith is a mental attitude so inwardly embodied that the mind can no longer deny it, and that faith is a belief and a presence of an invisible power and law which directly and specifically responds to us. So it's kind of like the law of gravity. You know, we all believe in the law of gravity, the principle of gravity, yet we do not see it, nor do we ever consider if it's going to work. Our faith in gravity is so strong that we do not allow for a preponderance of doubtful thoughts or whether we should walk towards the left or the right, forward, or just sit down and hold on. We display our faith in the principle of gravity every day by allowing our consciousness the freedom and the ease to know it's going to work and work very well without our questioning of this principle's fulfillment or our concerns that maybe we're using the law of gravity incorrectly. People get out of bed every day and just practice blind gravity. Isn't that something? So this is what Holmes meant when he defined faith as a mental attitude so inwardly embodied that the mind can no longer deny it. Faith in and of itself does not require a blind practice. Its only requirement is a complete and whole practice. Complete and whole practice. So let's expand yet again on Holmes's definition of faith to be a mental attitude so inwardly embodied that the mind can no longer deny it, and external expressions, activities, and circumstances of an individual completely mirrors this embodied mental attitude. You see, it's one thing to choose faith. It's quite another to live it. When choosing faith and living in faith are not in sync, in harmonious alignment, the individual is still living and creating from the sum total of their core beliefs, that they are operating within a principle and law with which directly and specifically responds to us. So now we want to look, we want to everyone to choose faith. That's just a given. We also want to use this time to share what that means. How does the choice of faith reflect within our journey? Choosing faith means living in alignment with the spiritual principles of the universe, no matter what, even when we don't want to. It means walking your talk, living your truth, standing in principle. To break it down even more, living in faith means consistently conducting a spiritual practice without hesitation or reservation, and only allowing and entertaining the thoughts and images, words and actions which mirror our choice of living in faith. As we have said before, we want to make this clear. Simply in living in faith is not simply acting or pretending your word is so. It is the knowing, like you know, that your word is powerful, that your word is infused with the energy, the essence, the causative force of the divine. It is a freedom of thought, a release of worry, concerns, and second guessing of the universe, and most importantly, the second guessing of our own power of our word. Choosing to live in faith is allowing our every thought, word, image, and mental action to be rooted in that causative force for good. That is more than we are, while simultaneously being all that we are. So one of my favorite parables of choosing to live in faith is, I admit, an oldie but a goodie, and we all know it, I'm fairly certain, but I'm going to ask that you laugh anyway for the folks at home that might not have heard it. And the parable is about this young man, he's out one evening with his buddies, and he sees the most beautiful girl he's ever seen. Nice looking young lady, and she's gazing his way. So he decides he's going to muster up the courage and go talk to her. And he crosses this crowded room thinking the whole time, just she's stunning and just gorgeous, the most beautiful woman he's ever seen. And when he gets over to her and he gets within earshot, he takes a deep breath and says, "Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice you've been looking at me all night." And she says, "Yes, yes, that's true. Forgive me for staring. I just couldn't help but think how much you look like my first husband." And a little shocked, he asked, "Well, how many times have you been married?" And she said, "Oh, I've never been married." Woo, let that sink in. Now that's living in faith. That is embodying a middle attitude and vibration of faith and a principle that responds to what we are offering. Esther Hicks said, "Not only does the thought you are choosing right now attract the next thought and the next and so on, it also provides the basis of your alignment with your inner being." So when we look at this wisdom as it relates to choosing faith, we want to get clear that there is no moment when we are not working with the spiritual laws of attraction and cause and effect. At the energetic level of our being, we are always attracting or repelling, attracting or repelling. That which we attract and repel is attracted and repelled based on the sum total and beliefs of our core vibration. And there is no better indicator of all that we are in the process of attracting or repelling than our current thoughts, mental images, words, and actions, than those we are expressing and living in the current moment. Acting as if it were so, living in faith, is having the knowing embedded so perfectly within our consciousness, we live every moment from a consciousness of evoking a vibration of effortless ease, without concern or worry, entering our field of consciousness, all the while remaining centered in a vibration of allowing and being this inlet and outlet for divine good to flow to you, through you, and as you. So I'm taking on a little trip back to 1997, right? What was going on in 1997? Well, the internet was just starting to take root and flourish a little bit in the consciousness of humanity, right? And there was a young guy at the time by the name of Larry Page. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. And Larry Page was an entrepreneur who knew he could cash in on this gold rush that was sweeping the world. And he tried and failed to sell this online search tool that he had created to a company called Excite. Now, Excite's no longer around. I remember Excite. I don't know how many of you do. But Excite at the time offered him $1.6 million. That's what Larry offered his search tool for, $1.6 million. And Excite turned the offer down and instead countered with $750,000. So Page refused, and he decided he would keep plugging along, having faith in his idea. And then he gets this bright idea to go in partnership with the guy. And his reason for going into partnership with this guy was because his potential new partner had another fantastic idea. And the idea was to fax pizza orders to pizza restaurants. Now, for any millennial, go Google fax, what a fax is right now. And for those of us that live through the fax machine days, you have to remember, in order for the fax to be effective, there has to be someone that knows they have to take the fax off the machine. Not to mention, you had to have a fax at both locations. And that little bit of truth seemed to escape Larry's potential partner. Well, this idea flopped too. But that didn't deter Larry. It didn't deter the new partner. And so Larry decided to go into business with this guy named Sergey Brin. And these two guys, Page and Brin, decided to focus fully on Page's search engine. And that search engine went on to become Google, which is now a verb. How many of us Google throughout the day? And Google is now worth $161.9 million and is the world's number two most valuable brand, only second to Apple. So why use these two as an example of living in faith? Because they displayed an awareness that the power, the energy that they had already infused into their idea was more powerful than what they had first attracted. They just kept on living out of that awareness, acting as if it was so, taking action on it. And what were they doing? Repelling and attracting, repelling and attracting. I remember Google's had several offers since Excite, repelling and attracting. What happened? That awareness, so embedded within their mental state, allowed for every subsequent thought, word, image, and action to reflect as a perfect knowing and a perfect demonstration. Attracting and repelling. Where are we in that process? See, faith is not about saying, oh, I'm going to do this, and then we move forward and it doesn't happen and we get disappointed. Faith is about saying, okay, I'm going to do this. Oh, that didn't occur. Next. There's something within me that's getting stronger every single time I fail at something out here. And that something within me that's getting stronger is the awareness that I have a higher idea of God to express. I have a more profound expression of the omnipotent source of energy that I am to be manifested. And I can't get wrapped up, allow myself to get wrapped up in the time that it takes, in how disappointed I was that didn't unfold as I intended it to do from the get-go. No, I want to go within immediately and free up all that disappointment energy and recenter it. Recenter it into the absolute knowing. The best is yet to be. Esther Hicks said, "Your time is a perceptual thing. And even though the clock is ticking the same for everyone, your alignment affects your perception as well as the results you allow. Your alignment Your alignment affects your perception, right? And this time thing that people allow themselves to get under, well, the universe doesn't understand it. The universe doesn't align with it. The universe is going, what is time, right? All the universe is recognizing is, oh my God, there's an energy that's creating that needs more nervousness drawn to it. There's an energy that's going to unfold as this ain't going to happen. And what we're saying is let it go. Let it go. Because in that moment, the only knowing that needs to be accepted and worked with is I'm attracting and repelling. All right, I just repelled what's not going to work. Now I'm going to attract what is going to work. James Arthur Ray, y'all remember him from The Secret, he said, in your life's defining moments, there are two choices. You either step forward in faith and power, or you step back in fear. And choosing faith is about knowing that no matter what, you're going to step forward in faith. You're going to keep stepping forward until you're confident that you're operating in harmony with the spiritual principles of the universe. Just like gravity. You don't have to seek anything to hang on to. You don't have to second guess yourself. You just want to move forward in that calm assuredness that in this moment, I am that individual expression of the pure potential of Source. And I have repelled anything unlike that truth. And I now stand ready, willing to allow all things like that truth. That's what choosing faith is about. You know, I'm going to share, faith is a knowing that just as you are, you are more than enough. Just as you are more than enough, as you are a fierce expression of Source energy. A fierce expression of Source energy. And this means that sometimes as we go through that contemplation of reviewing our past or our current mistakes or whatever it is, right? Anybody else do that? Nobody does that. So I'm going to use a term that what this means, that what we want to do, we want to begin a rebranding process of how we perceive our experience, right? So I'm going to give you an example of what we mean. If we were to ask 1,000 people, hey, would you ever consider living in a single-wide mobile home? Most, if not all, are going to say, no, never. There's not enough space. Who wants to live on a house on wheels? Right? Being from the South, we all know what a single-wide, the reputations that a single-wide have. However, if you ask that same 1,000 people, have you ever considered living in a tiny home? Most are going to say, sure, of course, it sounds wonderful. living without much stuff, and you can take it anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, if some marketing guru can successfully rebrand the single wide into a tiny home with television shows galore, you can rebrand your past experiences and mistakes into anything you choose. At the end of the day, a house on wheels is a house on wheels. But people don't view it that way. We have people getting rid of all of their stuff, and they're excited about it because they're going to live in a tiny home. The vibration of faith expands and contracts based on how we perceive and feel about our past and current experiences. Choosing faith may at times require us to rebrand, redefine how we perceive and offer our oneness with Source, our past and current experiences. Give yourself the opportunity to rebrand. Allow yourself to move into a different perception. You didn't make a mistake. You didn't fail. You have simply freed up the energy to create something new. So I want to give you a couple of more examples of what this looks like, creating and living within a mental attitude so embodied in our consciousness that every subsequent thought, image, and word, and deed is an outpicturing of this vibration of faith. Now today, if I say the name Jeff Bezos, we all immediately identify that name with Amazon, the success of Amazon, and as well we should. Amazon's a multi-billion dollar company steered by a multi-billion dollar individual. Now, few of us are going to recall or remember the Amazon Fire Phone. Anybody had one of those? Right? When Amazon introduced the Fire Phone, it was priced in the upper echelons of phones. The iPhones, and I don't know, I've only had an iPhone, whatever other expensive phones are out there. Yet it was such a flop that at one point, Bezos offered it at 99 cents just to get rid of the inventory. Now, Amazon was built on the philosophy of embracing risk and welcoming failure. Welcoming failure not as a stopping point, but as a rebranding point to try something new. Bezos displayed an awareness of maintaining of faith, not in the idea of the Fire Phone, but in his ability to produce creative ideas and bring them to fruition. And for those wondering if this could be true, allow us to point out that the demise of the Amazon phone freed up the energy to give birth to the idea of Alexa. Alexa, turn off the center. She's not going to do it today. Alexa, turn off the center. Oh, well. So, there we go. See? Alexa, turn on the center. There we go. Just saying. And we all have to admit, it's far better than going. So, how many of you remember the book Tuesdays with Maury? Great book. And in one of the chapters, Maury says that he has an exercise that he wants us to try. And the exercise is, we all know it, it's the trust fall, right? Where we stand facing away from a friend or a relative and we cross our hands over and we close our eyes, we fall backwards and we're relying on the person behind us to catch us. And some people are comfortable with this and some people are not. And the ones that are not, they're unable to let go just for those few inches before stopping themselves. And of course, you know, almost everyone laughs in embarrassment. But Maury said, one day, while his class was doing the trust exercise, one student, a thin, quiet, dark-haired girl, whom he noticed almost always wore bulky white fisherman sweaters, crossed her arms over her chest, closed her eyes, and leaned back, and doesn't hesitate. Right? She just fell straight back. And in just a flash, Maury was certain she was going to thump on the floor. And at the last instant, her assigned partner grabs her by the shoulders and the head and yanks her up harshly. And all the kids in Maury's class yelled and clapped and were very excited. And Maury finally smiled and he said to the girl, "You see, you closed your eyes. That was the difference. Sometimes you cannot believe what you see. You have to close your eyes and believe what you feel. You have to close your eyes and believe what you feel. If you're ever going to believe what you feel, you're going to have to practice a few trust falls from time to time. Sometimes we're going to be caught. Sometimes we're going to thump on the floor. It doesn't matter. What matters is that every trust fall allows us to attract or repel more. Don't get caught up in defining the trust fall, the outcome of the trust fall, as good or bad. Just remember, those free falls are the activity of your faith, evolving into an awareness of belief so embodied in your mental state of being that every subsequent thought, image, and word act out pictures as that one belief." Ram Dass had this to say about faith. He said, "When the faith is strong enough, it is sufficient to just be. To just be. It's a journey towards simplicity, towards quietness, towards a kind of joy that is not in time. It's a journey that has taken us from primary identification with our body and our psyche on to an identification with God, and ultimately beyond identification, creating and living from a mental attitude and vibration of faith is realized when we find ourselves operating free of the ego mind, the monkey mind, self-doubt, old worries or concerns, moving forward in our day with the absolute knowing that our every step is in perfect sync and harmony with the principles of gravity and the principles of faith." So we all know that Martin Luther King quote where he says, "Faith is taking the first step when you don't see the whole staircase." And I always like to remind people that that first step, when we don't see the whole staircase, right? You're not stepping into that which you don't know. You're stepping into a greater awareness of the presence of God. You're stepping into a greater opportunity to practice that knowing, that belief, that principle that the whole of the universe individualizes as you. And if it helps that analogy any, just understand that with each step that you take on that staircase, regardless of how many steps you see, what's illuminating that first step is the power of source that you are. And the next step you take, that step will be illuminated. And the next step you take, that step will be illuminated. Source individualizing as you will always guide you. Holmes said, "When prayer removes distrust and doubt and enters the field of mental certainty, it becomes faith, and the universe is built on faith." Take the time. If you're experiencing some doubt in your treatment work, if you're experiencing some doubt, and, oh my God, what does tomorrow hold for 2020? What an odd year it's been, right? Take the time to do that spiritual work. Take the time to step into that awareness that we don't need to know what tomorrow holds. All we need to know that it will be another vibrant, wonderful, and joyful expression of the divine for us to embody, for us to bring our gladness to, our joy to, our happiness to. Wayne Dyer said, faith is a complete reliance on the power and goodness of spirit and the firm belief that you are always connected to this goodness. Always affirm your faith and not your doubt. And this is what I'm seeing all year long for anybody that's thinking, you know, I don't know if I can do this. There's just so much out in the world today. I don't know if I can do this affirming my faith and not my doubt thing, right? Maybe it's just me. It's not just you. It's not just you having doubts right now. Rest assured, when we say you're an individualization of the oneness of Source, that translates to you're an individualization of Source and its omnipotence, as is everyone else. And that which we experience, so is the experience of others, and vice versa. And so we're all kind of caught in this collective consciousness of doubt and worry right now. And what we're saying to you as clearly as we can is turn away from it. Turn away from the fear and turn towards faith. Turn away from the doubt and begin walking in the light of God that you are. Turn away from the race consciousness collective. It hasn't served you this far in 2020, has it? And begin knowing a greater idea. If 2020 has taught us anything, it has taught us the need to affirm and to practice our faith in the awareness that we are that vibrant expression of Source in the here and now, and nothing, and no one will be able to stand in our way of demonstrating that one truth. Attract and repel, attract and repel. Repel anything unlike, attract all that is. And when you do that, you will not only be choosing faith, you'll be demonstrating your divinity. And so ends our lesson. Namaste.